Okay, so last week, we did is we took up a gematria, which was by Eliezer. Avraham. It says Hashem berachas Avraham bakal. Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. Okay, which the plain pshat means everything: servants and wealth and cattle and family and all everything. But Rashi says bakal means that in gematria is 52. And Bakal Ben is 52, so it means Hashem Berachas Avraham with a son. And the son was was the motivation for the rest of the parsha, that he had to find the wife for that son. So we ask the question, is it sounds a funny way to teach me something? You're taking a word, and a word is basically has meaning. Words are, that's what words are, entities of meaning. And then you're taking the letters that happens to be comprised of, converting them into numbers, adding them up, and finding another word that happens to have the same thing, and then making that into a word. It sounds like a far-fetched proposition. How do you do something like that? Right? So that was our question. And we went on a whole digression, but basically the punchline was that what the Chazal are teaching you, the idea is that Bakal, the idea if I ask a person to, they could give you everything, when would a person attain everything? It would basically be like an infinite goal. A person would never say, most people would never say, I have everything. When Esau was coming to Yaakov, he said, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. He didn't say, Yesh li kol. Yaakov said, Yesh li kol. Some lashon like that. But rav, most people would say, I have a lot. Because like, ohev kesef lo yispak kesef, a person who has a lot of money is going to want more and more and more and more. And never a person, in general, a person will never reach a point where they have everything. But a person who has realistic desires, who has realistic goals in life, he has a very objective perspective on what he truly wants to make him happy, what his real needs are. And it's possible for him to say, I have everything. I don't need anything else. I have what I need. So for Avraham, a ben was what he needed. He was interested in perpetuating the Shem Hashem and the ideas which he discovered, and to teach them, and he knew that he needed a kid. That was the thing in the world which he needed to be able to carry on his mission. So when he had that, for him, that was Bakal. So even though it says Bakal, and Pshat is Hashem gave him many things, but in terms of his internal world, what he really needed, Bakal was really just a son. Okay, so that was an interesting idea. But then we said the method of Gematria is actually in line with this idea. The idea is maybe we're arguing it's not just an accident that it taught this through gematria, but the idea of what gematria does is it makes something into a number. So it takes the idea of bakal, which is something which in theory is an infinite, unlimited, unbounded, idea, and gematria says for Avraham, bakal is not infinite, like it would be for others, but it's a finite thing, it's just 52, it's a number. So it's taking something which has without bound and giving it a number. And that's very much in line with the very idea, which is, that's, for Avraham it was finite. The Bakal is finite. So using the method of Gematria is in line with the concept. Okay? So that was the theory, which, again, that's an idea I had many years ago. But I've always theorized that perhaps it would be nice to see. I mean, I always thought gematria is a references to different ideas, not just the number thing. And there's a Ramban, I saw from Eshniois, that says that basically you can't just make up your own gematrias. They're like mesoras of ones which are, legitimately pointing to different ideas as a remez or simon for different ideas. But I was thinking, the fact that it references an idea, I think, is to me is clear. But the question is, my conjecture is that it always references an idea like this. Using a number has to do with referencing the idea of quantity. It's taking some word, which is a qualitative thing, and bringing in the aspect, or bringing out an idea in quantity. And that's my conjecture, that's the case. So, I never really pursued it, but over the past week or two, I've been pursuing it a little bit. So, at the end of Shia last week, I mentioned another one, which I noticed earlier in the year, which is that Avraham said by Sodom, he says, Nelot said, could you please save Tzoar? Okay, save Tzoar. Imolta na shama, let me please run there. So na, Rashi says in Gematria, is 51. And he says that the Sodom, he works out his calculations, that the Dor, from the Dor Flaga, it's been 52 years. And Sodom has been populated right after the Dor Flaga, and had 52 years worth of evil building up in that city. But in Tzoar, it only had 51 years. It was populated a year later, and therefore it was less evil. And since it was less evil, it was only 51. Nah, 51 years. Therefore, it was the city which the Malachim or Hashem agreed to save that city and allow Lot and his daughters to live there. So, the idea being is that even though originally Tzoar was slated to be destroyed along with Sodom, so apparently they were also evil. But apparently in Midas Hashem of Mishpat, there is beyond just the qualitative judgment of evil or good. Quantity is part of Hashem's den. How evil is a factor. It's not just evil or not evil, but how evil are they? And if 51 years of evil is not as bad as 52 years of evil. So it's teaching you an idea by using Gematria. He's trying to show you that Tzoar deserves to be saved because they were quantitatively less evil. And Hashem's Mishpat factors in quantity as well, not just the qualitative decision of the good or bad. Okay, so again, it's trying to use, Chazal are making use of a Gematria to show you that something which you would think is a qualitative thing, bad or good, involves quantity. So it's not just, again, the method which they're using when they invoke Gematria is when they want to convey an idea like that. Okay? That's what we did last.
I have a question on Gematria.
Yeah.
Is it something that Hashem put it? Is it ideas from like the Sinai, or is it something that the rabbis just
That's a good question.
Used as like a coincidence or something?
That's a good question. So I'm not sure the answer to that. I think the Ramban maintains that they're from Sinai. The Ramban seems to say that, and this is the thing that Matt showed me from the Sefer Geula. He explicitly says, he says that they're from Sinai. But I don't know that everyone agrees with that. As far as the idea I'm saying, it doesn't matter that much. Either they're from Sinai, which is that Hashem is conveying these ideas and pass them down to Sinai, pass down to Masorah, like Torah Shabbat, like everything else Torah Shabbat, or it's Chazal studied the Torah, and studied these derived ideas and discovered these gematrias, which are in line with ideas which are implicit in the Torah. So they're discovering ideas and using gematria to help bring out a concept, which in this, what I'm claiming, is related to quantity.
So we can't make that up, that's just normal.
I don't know. The Ibn Ezra also had some quotes that was pretty negative negative about gematrias altogether. But I don't think he was addressing specifically whether an individual can make it. But the Ramban says that people make fun of Gematria because you know you can make up anything. So that's why the Ramban says you can't make up anything. You can only go by that. It's in the Masorah. You know? That's why, you know. Yeah. Okay. So what I wanted to do is, again, to pursue this idea further. Again, my claim is, my conjecture is, that I don't know if it's true, or maybe it's partially true, that Chazal's use of gematrias, or Rashi's use of gematrias, involve instances where Chazal want to bring out an idea of quantity involved in an idea, which you wouldn't otherwise know. Okay? Fine. So, before I do that, I want to talk about the significance of this type of thing. Okay? Namely, quantity. Okay? So, I think quantity is, in modern science, is a part of the discovery of modern science, is the role of quantity in the universe. Okay, like with the revolution with Galileo and Newton, and basically, I'm not sure if the ancients fully appreciated the role of quantity. And I'll show you, Chazal did in a certain sense. But nowadays, all of science is basically about equations and formulas and expressing the laws of nature. There are qualitative relationships between different things, but they involve quantities. So, for example, you could talk about like gravity means two masses attract, but how strongly do they attract? Like when gravity is a force of attraction, and electromagnetism is a force of attraction of like charges of opposite charges, but electromagnetism is 10^36 larger than gravity. So there's a number. They're like the idea of constants. Is the laws of nature are qualitative laws, but there are numbers and there are quantities which are built into the laws of nature. Hashem made a universe which is an interplay of qualitative laws which have numbers built into them, the masses of the fundamental particles, and the idea of constants of nature. So that's something you can look into some more. But that's the world God made. And the claim is that's the Torah which God made. And in the Torah also you have an analogy. There are quantities which are involved in mitzvos and in different areas of study, there's the concept of quantity factors in. So Chazal knew this, and there's a Gemara in Chagiga which actually explains the name of Shekai, Shin Dalad Yod, the Shem Hashem. And it says like this. It says, because what does that mean? You have these different names of Hashem. And different names of Hashem, the Rishonim explained, they convey different ideas, different concepts about Hashem. Elokim means that Hashem's a judge. You know, and Adni is reflects that he's a master and he's in charge of everything. And Tzivakos references like the different legions of the stars and of the planets, and, you know, something. Different Mepharshim have different ideas for different names. But the reason why it's different names convey different concepts about what we can know about Hashem. So, like Yudkei Vavkei is typically in Chazal reference to Midas Rachamim, as Raman says and Rashi says. So the different names convey different things. So, what does the name of Shin Dalad Yod represent? So, Gemara in Chagiga, Yud Beis and Aleph, says as follows. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda, you don't have that. Sorry.
No, I don't.
Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. B'shal shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam, when Hashem created the world, ha'yamarche v'holech k'shtei pakiyos shel shasi. He was expanding continuously, like two unraveling balls of warp thread. Okay, whatever that means exactly. But it's like expanding out, like a ball of thread or something. Okay, I think it means like the heavens and the earth. The Shemayim are like expanding outwards. Ha'shegor v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem like yelled at it, so to speak, v'hamido, and he caused it to come to a standstill. Shenemar amudei shemayim yismehu v'yorofefem yismehu migat rasam. The pillars of the heavens shudder and are astounded by his rebuke. Okay? So it means somehow, and I don't know if the idea Chazal do exactly the science, but there is an idea that the universe is expanding. It sounds like it's saying is there was like a degree at which the universe or the heavens and the earth were expanding outwards, and then Hashem said, stop, enough. Okay? And it says, "Mahainu dama Reish Lakish," and this is what Reish Lakish means. "Ma'idach siv ani kel shakai." What does it mean? I am Hashem, who's a kel shakai. Ani hu shemarti lolam dai. Dai means enough. I'm the one who said she dai she amarti lolam dai. That I said to the world, enough, which means stop, enough. It's been expanding. Yes, expanding. Stop. So it reached enough, is a quantity, it reached a sufficient quantity. And he says another statement, when Hashem was making the sea, the ocean, it was expanding, growing and growing and growing and growing and growing, until Hashem rebuked it, yelled it, and stopped it, So he rebukes the sea, and it makes it dry, and makes all the rivers parched. So I think that's a reference to the idea of sea level. Like the idea of water is an essential component in the universe. In Earth, I mean, not the universe, in Earth. And like, for instance, there's a specific level of how much water is on Earth. And we need a lot of it. We don't want too much of it. It will drown the whole world. And that's what they're worried about nowadays with global warming, and the sea level will rise and it will cause all kinds of problems. But the quantity of how big the sea is and how much sea there is part of, it's not just God's will that there's going to be dry land and there's going to be earth, but then there's going to be water, but how much? Dai. So it sounds like this Chazal is saying is that the term Shin Dalad Yod is a reference to the Midas Hashem. I mean, there are other approaches to this, but it seems from this Gemara to the Midas Hashem of fixing the appropriate quantities in the world. Okay? So that's part of the creativity of Hashem in the universe. And again, it's manifest from studying, let's say, the constants and the fine-tuning of the constants. The idea of the numbers being just right, and that's the idea of fine-tuning, which was discovered. If you change, there's like 25 numbers and constants in the universe, if you change them just a little bit, you don't have life, you don't have anything, you don't have rocks, you don't have any of the elements. Everything is dependent on a very careful balance of the numbers being just right. So quantity was recognized by Chazal and recognized by modern science as being a significant part. And according to this Chazal, it's like the Shem Hashem actually reflects that aspect of the Hashem's Bria. Okay. So the claim is, again, that this is Gematria is touching on things like this. Again, quantity is not... My point of bringing this in is quantity isn't just a random type of a thing. Quantity is an essential component of the Bria, and I'm saying it comes up an essential part of, you know, of the study of, you know, in Torah comes up.
In it various. Wasn't a Gematria in that case.
No, it wasn't a Gematria. No, it was not a Gematria. No, I'm just showing is... No, so my point is I'm trying to say that Gematria references to things involving quantity, and I'm trying to show... Quantity isn't just a random word I'm making up. It's a significant idea in the universe. Quantity is, you know. So I was kind of testing out to see whether or not this theory holds up. I don't know if it's true. It's just a guess or a conjecture, and I still don't know. But I have some more examples that I've, you know, well, I'd like to bring up and see if we could pursue it, you know, this line of reasoning.
I just wanted to clarify. So are you saying that, like, quality is really just really the same thing as quantity, but it's a certain quantity, like it's just like overlap, because we always differentiate between quality and quantity, but are you saying that they're really the same thing?
No,
quality
not,
is just a different degree of quantity.
Well, when you're referring, like, again, let's say you take about attraction, say two masses attract, so that's a qualitative relationship, a law, which is how the two masses interact, they attract. That's the qualitative description. But then the quantity is how strongly are they going to attract. So it's a quantity is always of something. So it's like of a qualitative thing. But it's, you know. You follow me?
So if it gets to a certain... We won't define it as a quality until it gets a certain quantity. Like the quantity is continuous, but until it gets to a certain quantity, we won't even... I guess human beings will not even notice that... It's a different quality. We're only
I'm not using quality in the same sense. I'm saying like another. Let me give you another example. It's like it's God's will that there is dry land and that there is water. Okay, so that's the qualitative features of the universe of Earth is that there's dry land and that there's water. Okay, fine. Now how much? So the Earth is 2/3 of water and 1/3 dry land. So that's a quantity. So it's like you could talk about different things in different components of the universe, and we'll see in Torah also, there are qualitative principles, and then there's degrees of those principles. Okay, so like a person you could say is funny. That's a qualitative characteristic of a person. They'll say, well, they're super duper funny, or a little bit funny, or not so funny, or whatever, that's quantity. So quality is like the... Right, or the case of the I was talking about by Sodom. Sodom is evil. Tsoar was evil. Well, how evil are they? So it's like it's where you can have quality lend themselves to variation of degree. They could exist, but they could exist in variations of degree. The quantity is measuring the degree of whatever quality is which we're talking about.
This is the normal definition.
What's that? Yeah, the normal definition.
This is
nothing fancy. Okay, so far so good? Okay. So, let me, this is a famous one, okay, which is the Tariq Mitzvahs. Okay? So the Tariq Mitzvahs, it's a Gemara in Makos on Daf Chav Gimel, on the base. Okay, now, what I'd like to do, I have a few different three or four of these different ones. Now, my point is not just to just run through them. I'd like to study each one in itself and try to discover some ideas and some insight at this cost of not running through many. We could do more next week or whatever, you know. So I think the point isn't just to work out the pshat. I think the different chazals are there to teach you ideas. So we're going to be doing various ones, which involve gematria, but however many we'll cover. Okay. So the chazal say, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kilas Yaakov, right? Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us the Torah. Right? It's an inheritance. Torah v'gematria shismei avichadzri. Avi. So Torah, the gematria of Torah is 611. Because Taf is 400 and Resh is 200. That's 600. And then Vav and He is 5 and 6 is 11. So 611. Okay. We're almost there. Anochi v'lo yi avi pi agvura shemanam. But then Anochi and Anochi Hashem al keva. The first of the stars, they both said, "Lo yelcha macher malpana." You shouldn't have any other gods with me. We heard those from Hashem. Okay, and that's based on a pasuk or a drash or chazal. that Hashem, those two of the Aseres HaDibros, Hashem said himself, and then the Jews were frightened, and it was an overpowering experience, and they said to Hashem, to Moshe, Moshe, you tell us the rest. You hear it from Hashem, and you'll tell us. But those two, we heard from Pia Gvura. So it's saying, is it? It's 611. Torah Tzivlanu Moshe. So Moshe commanded us Torah 611. And then Hashem told us the two. Anochi and Lo'iya. So that's, right? Torah Tzivlanu Moshe. Moshe gave us the other 611 mitzvahs. In Gematria Torah. And two of them, Anochi and Lo'iya, we heard directly from Hashem. So again, we have a Gematria being used to represent the number of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Right? Except for Anochi and Lo'iya. Right? So the question is, what's the point? I mean, it's cute, it's clever, and that's part of what you think about these things. They're cute, they're clever, wow, that's so cute, interesting, wow, look at that. But what's the point?
I just have a question on it, because Torah is more than the number of mitzvos.
Well, Torah is 611.
Well, I'm saying, no, but the actual Torah that Moshe gave us was Torah Shvav Tav and Torah Shvav Peh, and like, it's kind of like, that's what I think. I think Torah Tzivalon, like the idea is that Moshe gave us Torah.
Well, here's the thing, is that there is a concept of a minyan mitzvahs,
right,
which is like there's a bris, I think the way the Rav explained this, like a bris at Sinai that we accepted, so to speak, on the dotted line. There's a contract, we're going to keep X. And so when you have an X, you have to have a fixed quantity.
Okay.
So there's a quantity of mitzvahs, and there's 613. Now it's an argument, what exactly 613 are, how do you count them? Let's, you know, we don't exactly know. The fact that they're Tariq mitzvos is,
we're talking,
you know,
in that pasuk, it's talking about...
Well, the plame shot in the pasuk is not saying, it presumably means the whole Torah, everything. It doesn't only mean Tariq mitzvos, it means everything, which expands more than just exactly the formal, whatever. But it's a drash, which is saying, there is, besides for giving us the Torah, there is also contained within the Torah this idea of minyan mitzvos, and there's 613 in our 611 plus 2. Okay? Now, you could ask a question, is it significant that the Gematria doesn't come out to 613, but it comes out to 611, then we have to add to, or is that just like a blip? You know, because sometimes when people do Gematria, oh, we're off by a little bit, and then we add, you know? So, like, well, that's kind of, I think, what people don't like so much about Gematria, is it sounds like, you know, arbitrary, and you can do all these things. It would be even nicer if we could explain that it's not just a patch-up job, but if that there is a significance of that fact. You know, I mean, it does work out in the pshat. It's pretty clever how it works out, is that Moshe really gave us 611 and the other two are from Hashem. So it's kind of accurate. But what's the point and what's the significance, you know? Okay, any thoughts?
Like, I'm definitely trying to, like, just, like, method-wise and thinking, I definitely feel myself trying to think if there's, like, some undefined quality that's better if it gets, like, quantified and teaches you an idea. Is that a mistake in terms of thinking about it?
I don't know.
Because I feel I'm confirmation bias, like, you know, I feel like I'm not, like, free to think about the idea.
I know. You know, I don't know. You know, there's, I don't know what to say. It's, you know, this is part of the...
Well, but if you're investigating to see if all Gematrias, you know, they find have that, then...
Yes,
then
you're kind of looking for that. Yeah,
right.
At the same time, you have to be open to the fact that there may be some other explanation.
Right.
But at the same time, this is, you know, this is a theory,
okay,
which we're testing, so, you know. Look, and there's not necessarily one unique way to explain it, you know. If you look, that's what I'm saying, I don't want this to just be a let's stuff everything in shia.
Right.
I'd like to investigate there and so on. And if you're going to ask me, say, pshat, which is beautiful, I'm not going to say, hey, but that doesn't mean quantity. Well, I don't care. That's, you know, whatever. The point is, the main point, I think, of Chazal's in general is to help teach you ideas. So just to Like, I think part of the problem with the way people use gematrios nowadays is they just say, oh, this is gematria, this is gematria, that, okay, very nice. Okay, well, what do you learn from that? What's the point? What do you gain? You know, so like, yeah, like the Nag thing is you learn the Avram Bakol thing, you learn a concept about how to be happy, how to be satisfied, and the idea of making realistic objectives in life makes you be able to be satisfied. And the Nag teaches you about the idea of Mishpat Hashem, that there's an idea of quantity. It's not all about something or Russia, but there's a concept of quantity. So the point is to learn concepts and ideas. In a certain sense, the method is less significant than the concepts. So I'm hoping that the method will always be these types of ideas, but more important than the thing is not to discover a method of gematria, to discover concepts themselves. That's the ultimate point.
So, the question on this one then is, first not addressing the 611 plus 2, but just that Torah Tzivalanu Moshe, Torah, however you want to work it out, approximately, is the same as the number of mitzvos.
Right.
And the question is, what's the significance?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, right. Who cares that the word Torah? Yeah, like, is it like the Torah has to be called Torah? Like, let's say there were 500 mitzvahs, then what would Torah be spelled with? Bishorah, or you know, or it just like happens to, or like, what's the right? And what do we learn? What do we gain by doing that? What's the point? You know, is it just a matter of like, you know?
I had one thought, just based on what you were saying before. I mean, Torah is a Derech HaChayim, and tremendous wisdom of how to live in very different kind of guiding things, but it really is anchored on and expressed through the mitzvot in terms of your Derech HaChayim and in terms of being engaged in learning about them. And it's not like just a philosophy, and it's also not just a set of rules, but being given Torah is, it wouldn't be anything. Torah wouldn't be Torah without the mitzvos as our, like, as our anchor. So,
good.
And those are quantified. I mean, the Chachma of Torah is infinite, but the mitzvos are, you know, finite.
Okay. What do you mean by the mitzvos are finite?
There's a fixed number of them.
Okay,
each one has, each one has infinite wisdom with it, but there's a fixed number of mitzvos.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
Also, the idea that the Torah that Moshe gave us is the same as, is equal to the Torah that
It's hard for me to hear you, Naomi. I'm not sure why. It's like staticky.
Yeah.
Much better.
Saying
that maybe the idea is that the Torah that we heard personally is equally
trustworthy
as the Torah that we got from Moshe. Mm-hmm. Right. I see. You mean by putting the Torah and then
Waiting there.
Right. Okay. I hear you. Okay. Anyone else?
Maybe it has something to do with like a balance. Like there's a specific number. Like you can't have. There's no more. There's no less.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know exactly what.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Good. Are you sure to call it? Okay. You're gonna leave it in. Okay, so, should I hold on for a second? Oh, there you are. That's you, right? Okay, fine. Okay, yeah. So, I was thinking like this. Okay, in line with what you guys are suggesting, that in a certain sense, I think the Rambam talks about this. I don't remember exactly how he says it, but you could, like, the idea of Anochi and Lo Yiyah, in a certain sense, you could boil down the Torah into two primary objectives. Okay? One is to teach you true ideas, to bring you towards truths, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is embodied, typified at the highest of I am Hashem your God, knowledge of God exists, and which includes in it many knowledge, many truths, and focusing and learning different ideas in the Torah, different truths. And then, lo yilach elam achim alpanai, don't be involved in corrupt ideologies. Don't be involved, typified at the highest level as by the Zara. But all kinds of things are leading you down false paths, false ideals, false value systems. So in a certain sense, it's like there's a summary of the Torah. It could be no truth, draw yourself towards the God as the ultimate existence, and stay away from evil, from falsehood, from corrupt values. Okay? But now, although that's like a very brief summary of what the Torah is about, the Torah accomplishes that through many, 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 many mitzvahs. So those are two object, overarching themes which God said. But how do you do that? So you have many, many mitzvahs which lead you towards knowing God and lead you towards establishing true ideals in your life. And then you have many mitzvahs which are geared around keeping you away from harms and from false values, false midos, false, you know, pursuits in your life. So then the Torah realizes that it's not enough just to teach you intellectually these ideas. Study Hashem, study the corruption of Avodah Zarah, and then just sit around and drink beer the rest of the day. That's not going to work. The way the Torah works is through a rigorous, involved system of mitzvahs. The Torah realizes that a human being is not just a brain, but you have a body and you have actions. And your energies are involved in this world. And the way that you become a unified personality who is involved in their relationship with God is through involving a person's actions in directions which are going to be in line with true ideas and away from actions which are going to direct you towards false ideals. So the system of mitzvahs, of maaseh mitzvahs, and throughout of all the isurim in the Torah, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, could ultimately be summarized as trying to bring the personality and the society at large towards these goals. Right? And that's why there's so many mitzvahs, because we have so many energies and areas which we put our lives into, and we have to be like regimented in order to constantly work on every different facet of our energies, and many reminders and many things which are harmful to us in the whole system of the Torah. And it's a study of all the mitzvahs, you know. Now, the question is, but there are 611 other mitzvahs, right? Now, does that number have any significance to it, or is it just, well, God just making a list? Oh, this is a good one, this is a good one, this is a good one, this is a good one. Oh, look at that. Turns out there's, you know, that he just had enough. So maybe it's saying is that part of the Chachma of the Torah is that the number is appropriate. God fine-tuned that number. That's what you're suggesting. Is that it's just like God fine-tuned the fact that the number of the mass of an electron is a certain number and not off by a little bit, and the electric field is 137.1346 whatever, and it's you think, hey, what's the difference? It could have been a lot of numbers. No, it's not true. Science has discovered it couldn't have been a lot of numbers. If you change it, it messes up the objective and the universe isn't going to work out. So what I'm saying is that arguably the same God who created the universe is the God who created the Torah, and if there are 611 mitzvos, arguably his chachma dictated this is the right amount. Man needs a lot of mitzvahs. He doesn't need a billion mitzvahs. He doesn't need four mitzvahs. He needs the number. Now, I don't know if the exact number is, you know, like within the constants, not the exact number. But it means part of the system of Torah is the qualitative idea that we have mitzvahs that teach us true ideas. But then there's the quantity of how many mitzvahs. And unfortunately, we don't have many of them because we're in the Galus and we're missing the full 613, which is a problem. The system is not in its full form. But in its full form, the number is part of the design of the Torah. That's not that's part of the cheshbon of Hashem in making the Torah, is the fine tuning of the quantity. So anochi lo yiar tu, but then the way those two ideals are accomplished is through Torah Tzivah and Moshe, which is the Torah. You could look at the Torah as just a way of life, but it's more than a way of life. There's quantity built into the thing, the amount of mitzvahs that we have, and how exactly they interplay and all that. That's part of the design of the Torah, which is we don't necessarily think about, but arguably it's part of counting the mitzvahs is, you know, is trying to get a handle on that. Now, it's hard for us even to relate to. It seems so grand to even imagine how could the number be so exact and how could that be a factor. What's the difference if there were 500 or if there were 700 or whatever? Who really knows?
Well, I think it makes good sense because it means it's not vague.
Yes.
It's not approximate.
Yes.
Designed with knowledge of human nature,
Yes.
Perfect.
Right.
So it's 6:13, it's not 6:12, and it's not 6:14 anymore, right. 6:13. I don't know.
Right.
But
yes, right.
I think it's fitting. It's
yes,
not,
definitely. Yeah, it's fitting, and as much as it sounds far-fetched, it would sound far-fetched in physics also. You would have thought, why do these numbers of the universe have to be these numbers? Then they sound the craziest numbers, but science has discovered, as crazy as it sounds, and as these numbers sound like just arbitrary, the idea of fine-tuning is if the numbers are off, then you're not going to have a universe. You're not going to have anything. You're going to have a bunch of particles bouncing around. So it's like way beyond our wisdom to be able to come to a number and to say this is the right number. But that doesn't mean we can't, the same God who designed the universe and built these numbers in, his Shaddai is the one who said to the Olam, die, it's enough. So God's saying the same thing by the mitzvahs. God said, enough. This is the right amount, 613. And by using a gematria, it's pointing you to the idea of quantity. That's what I'm saying is in line with this. When the Chazal want to bring out a quantitative idea, an element to the Torah, the point of Chazal here is to bring out the quantitative dimension to mitzvahs, so therefore they're specifically using, or it's from the Sinai, however you learn it, it's specifically using, it's converting a word Torah, which you think of as in a qualitative sense, and it's putting it into numbers to show you Torah is not just a qualitative idea of a guidebook of how to live. There's a quantitative aspect as well, which might be overlooked. Good? Any questions? Comments? Okay. So, why don't we take one more? Yes, go ahead.
I'm not sure if I formulated it yet, but it's not that the number itself is significant, it's that it's significant that there is a number?
Well, I'm saying both. I'm saying it's significant that there is a number because, but that's like, you know, God doesn't need any more. You know, but I'm saying it's like, I guess I'm saying two things. One is, there's a totality which is reached with all these mitzvahs, and there's no other areas. It's almost like, that's what you mean, like every area of life, so to speak, is covered, and it fills out the totality of human existence, if you will. But I think it's also, there's an idea of number is also part of it. It's like, I don't know exactly how to say it, but it's like, the Torah, part of the Torah is that we have many mitzvahs. That's part of the life of the Torah. The life of the Ben Bas Torah is a person who has many different things to study and many things, different factors to consider in their life and many areas of investigation and focus in the way they live. Now, how many? So the fact that there are very many in the ballpark, I don't know if exactly the number, 613, that's by design. It's not, if the Torah were only 10 mitzvahs, then you'd have a lot of time on your hands not to be doing mitzvahs, and you'd get involved in all kinds of other things. And if there's a billion mitzvahs, it would be beyond the person's ability to wrap their head around it and to be able to be productive. So saying is the Torah is like, I'm saying the number itself is part of what's important. Not just that there is a number, but it's the right balance. It's the right amount. It's not too much. It's not too little. Too much is going to be too overwhelming for man, and it will take you away from being able to focus on any one. Too little is not going to involve enough areas and enough of man's time and energy to be able to do. But this is the right amount. You follow me?
Yeah, I think so. So it's not necessarily that 613 is better than 612. It's just that general area.
Yeah, so that I'm not sure about. That's what in science also they're not sure about that. Like there are numbers, there are constants which are 137.1246371. You know, and they've shown why if that were off by like 4%, then we wouldn't have carbon and then there wouldn't be life. But it's not clear if there is more necessity, or if it could have been the same thing roughly with 613 or 612 or 614. I'm not sure. It could be the number is exact, or it could be it had to be somewhere around there, and then any number you're going to ask, you say, hey, why is it that one? You know, like, there's certain things which don't matter exactly the number, and then God just is picking a number. So, I don't know. I don't know if we can know that degree of precision. But whatever it is, it's part of the calculation of God that he's saying, die. You know, when he said sea level, this is the right level, it could be, look, if we're much higher, then we'd be drowned. If we're much lower, there wouldn't be enough water in the world. Did it have to be exactly this level or whatever? It could be there's a range, which is okay. But, you know, I don't know if we can know that. But it would seem, who knows? Good question, but I don't know if we're going to be able to discover that.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So there's another one, which my brother-in-law Mark showed me. It says like this. It says, it's by a Nazir. Okay? So a Nazir is a person who's got a problem with wine, maybe. Maybe he's a problem with being too involved in the arrogance of this world. It's not clear exactly what a Nazir is, but a Nazir, let's say wine. So a guy accepts upon himself that he's got a problem and he has to make himself a Nazir in order to recast his image and to allow himself to take on a new way of life and a new value system. And he's like a Kadosh Lashem, right? Okay. So the question is if a guy just says, I want to be a Nazir, he makes a nether, how long is he a Nazir for? So you could stipulate different periods of time. That's up to you. But the question is, what about a Stam Naziris? If you don't stipulate any amount of time, how long are you Nazir for? So the halacha is 30 days. It's a Mishnah. And it's halacha, 30 days is a Stam Naziris. So the question is, how do we know? The Gemara asks, this is a Nazir, Hayyam and Aleph, how do we know 30 days? So it says, Amar of Nasa, Amar Kra, Kadosh Yiyah. The Torah talks about Nazir and says he's Kadosh. Kadosh he will be. Yihiyah b'gematria, the gematria of Yiyah, Tlasin Hava was 30. Because Yihiyah has two Yuds, which are 20, and it has two Hays, which is another 10, so it's 30. So the gematria of Yihiyah is 30, and the Torah says, Kadosh Yihiyah will be Kadosh. Okay? Then it has another drasha, maybe how many times it writes the word Nazir in the Torah, is 29 or whatever. But this position is saying it goes by gematria. Okay? So, right on the spot, the Rosh says, it seems to him that this is really Yira, the Gemara Gemirila. Really, it's a Mesorah. It's a Chosh Mesina that's 30 days. V'asmechua ha gematria. And it's really just an asmachta. That is just they're just leaning it on this asmachta, on this gematria. Because there are these 13 principles with which you learn out halachos in the Torah. Kal v'chomer, gzera shava, various principles in the Torah, which we, mechanisms to learn out, derive halachos. And one of them is not gematria. There's no halacha that Chazal could be doresh halachos from gematria. So he's saying is, even though it sounds in this Gemara that it's really deriving the 30 days from the gematria, the Rosh is saying, and the Rambam echoes the sentiment of the Perush Mishnah, that it's not quite the Chazal are deriving it from here, but they knew it from Mesorah, and they're just leaning it on this, you know, using this as a reference to it, that it's indicated in the word Yiyah. Okay. So the question is, what's the significance of the whole thing then? I mean, if we know it's 30 days in the Torah, then what's the point of saying, oh, turns out it says the number, yeah, the word yeah, yeah means to be, kadosh, yeah, he shall be kadosh, right? He shall be kadosh, he shall be. Now what, you take yeah, and you make it into a number, you say it turns out 30, and therefore it turns out, oh, look at that, Stam Nazir is 30 days. You know, it's just strange. What's the point? Okay, so I'm open to suggestions.
Well, the same line of the ideas that you're saying, that there is, you know, a certain amount, just like
the mitzvot, a certain amount is good. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, someone else? Okay. So, maybe like this, is that this is in line with what Naomi was suggesting, that the Torah's attitude towards Naziros is contradictory, if you will. Okay, on the one hand, the Torah calls him a Kadosh. Kadosh Yia, he shall be Kadosh. Sounds like a great thing. It's a Nazir al-Kaval Rosh, he's like a crown of Hashem on his head. At the same time, when a person finishes his Naziros, he has to bring a Karban Chatos. Right? And the Karban Chatos is usually indicative of a Chet. So Chazal say, what's his Chet? What did he do wrong? So they say, Shetzir Atzum and Hayayin, that he pained himself from wine. Okay? He pained himself from wine. He deprived himself and he caused himself undue pain. So, what do you mean? But I thought it's Kedusha, it's Kadosh to pain yourself, to deprive yourself of, you know? So I think the answer, which is, I mean, there's different ways of looking at this in different Mefarshim, but this is the answer, I think the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, and, you know, this is I don't remember exactly where I got it from, but it's not my own, so I don't remember exactly who said it, but maybe Rabbi talks about it on the share somewhere. But the idea is that, in general, the Torah is not an ascetic religion. The Torah is not a religion which says, pleasure is evil. Stay away from pleasure. Right, there are other religions. There are other religions which maintain that, like celibacy. A person removing themselves from sexuality is other, like Christians have that. The Torah is against that kind of a thing, and the Torah is against removing yourself from wine. Why should you not enjoy wine? It's part of the pleasure which God gave you in the world. And I think as Yerushalmi says that ultimately, if a person doesn't enjoy fruits in this world, Hashem will take him to din. He'll say, hey, why don't you enjoy the great fruits I give you in this world? So the Torah holds Hashem made man in a way that he has a part of him which can be involved in ideas and in Torah mitzvahs, but then there's a part of a physical body, and God wants a person to enjoy that as well. And the fully balanced human being is a person who's able to be engaged in satisfying both aspects of his life. So why would a person say, I'm not going to drink wine? Wine's good, it's enjoyable. The only problem is, although wine is good and enjoyable, there's such a thing as a person with a problem. There's a problem with wine, and because of wine, he's involved in a corrupt way of life, and he can't get himself out of it. And perhaps nowadays it would be like an alcohol addiction. You know, I don't think the Nazir is quite an alcohol or the wine addiction, but it's, let's say, something like that. But it's a guy who has a problem, a guy who has an illness. And if a person has an illness, he can't just say, oh, I'm going to drink wine in moderation. He's not able to drink wine in moderation. He's got a problem. So for a normal person, it's healthy to just drink wine in moderation. But a person who has an illness, he's not able to drink wine in moderation. A person who's an alcohol addict is not going to, you know, they won't advise a guy who's got alcohol problems to just drink alcohol in moderation. They'll put him in a clinic and they'll put him in, say, go cold turkey for a month. And you got to get yourself away from it. So the Torah holds is that you can't, there's a person who has an illness that he can't just stop drinking wine, but he can't just get himself to normalcy. He has to go to an opposite extreme in order to break his addiction, in order to break his habit of being attached to wine. So a Nazir is a person who totally removes himself from wine for a short amount of time, or however long he deems necessary, and he's involved in Kadosh, and removing himself from Taman, he takes on an image of Kadosh Hashem, and he's involved in Tshuva, and tries to raise himself to a different way of life. He removes himself from his vanity, he's not involved in haircuts and all that. So there's an idea is that it's a method by which the Torah constructs a whole system of Naziros, which helps a person break his imperfection, break his addiction, overcome his flaw, and be able to raise himself up to be able to do teshuvah. But then at the end of the thing, the Torah doesn't want you to feel that's an ideal. It's a chait. The status of not drinking wine itself is not an ideal. On the contrary, bring a chatos for that. Because in the short term, you had to take on an extreme, a lifestyle which is not in line with what the Torah really wants from a person. So therefore, you have to bring a karban chatos for the fact that you had to do this terrible, you know, harmful thing. It would be analogous to like chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is bad for you. But it might be necessary considering your illness. If a person has cancer, it's better to have chemotherapy than to have cancer. So do here. Naziris is like a medicine. It's bad for you, but it's necessary to help you get back to normalcy. So the chachatas help brings to mind that idea. So a person who does a Naziris is because he realizes he has a problem, and therefore he accepts upon himself a Naziris. But now the question is, so do you just say, look, I'm going to be an Ozir? Does it matter how long you're an Ozir? So the answer is yes, it does matter how long you're an Ozir. So a person who has a much more serious problem may have to decide that he needs to be an Ozir for a year. He may need to be an Ozir for 2 years, maybe he needs another 5 years. Another guy who has a minor problem may decide he's going to be an Ozir for a week. And that's enough to do it. But what's the model? What is the Torah hold? Is the standard Naziros? That's what I mean, Stam Naziros. So a guy who just has a normal problem with wine. Okay, within, not extremely bad, not extremely mild, just normal. So the Torah is saying 30 days is the Stam Naziros. It means the baseline case, the normal case of Naziros is the 30 days. And that's the halacha. So it could be it's saying is that's yeah, that's not just that's Misinai. That's what the Rosh is saying. It's Misinai that's the assumption, that's the given. That's a halacha from Misinai that's 30 days. So it means that Hashem gave us the Torah and gave us this institution of Nazir, which is a method of guidance of how we should rid ourselves of this imperfection. And part of what Hashem told us is the normal amount is 30 days. There's a part of Nazirus is not just a qualitative Kabbalah of becoming an Ozir, which means I'm not going to drink wine and I'm not going to get haircuts and I'm not going to tell my maids. How long are you going to do that for? Quantity is part of the system of Naziros, and Hashem is giving you guidance. This is the baseline. Now, yes, you may have to adjust it as needed, but like that's the case. Like a doctor, may in the medical handbook, it might tell you the default dosage of a certain thing is this. That tells you the default. Now, a doctor, particular practitioner, may decide this guy needs a little more, this guy needs a little less, but by Hashem telling us the 30, he's telling us the normal baseline quantity which is necessary to accomplish the objective of Naziros. So by using Gematria, Chazal are bringing our attention to the fact that from Sinai itself is not just the concept of Naziros, the qualitative institution of Naziros, but the quantity is also an essential part of Naziros. And if you want to be a Nazir, don't forget to factor in quantity. Don't forget to recognize 30 days as the baseline and use that in your analysis of whether that's enough, whether you should do more, whether you should do it less. Second, let me share. Yeah, it's the phone. Yeah. Yeah, so use that in part of your analysis about whether or not you want, how long you should be doing your Naziros. So once again, the Gematria is directing us towards, I mean, here it's clearly a quantity because it's 30 days. But what I'm saying is the insight that it's showing you is there is a quantity because of the fact that Naziris is a double-edged sword. Therefore, it's not just say, do it forever. That's not in general, although there is such a thing as Nazir Olam, and sometimes maybe that's appropriate for a person. But in general, the normal suggestion is Misinai is Yihyah, is just 30 days. And Kadosh Yihyah might sound, you should be Kadosh forever, you should be Kadosh, the plain shot. But Yihyah is telling you no. There's a built-in limitation. Question? Comment? Okay. So, if there aren't other questions, so maybe we'll stop here. And I've got another two or maybe three other instances of this. So maybe I'm looking around for other ones. If anyone can think of any other ones, you could let me know. But, so we'll, hopefully we'll pick up next week. Maybe we'll continue on this topic. All right? Okay.